So I want to ask you a question this morning. I always like to start my messages with a question. Have you ever done something in your life that you wish you could do over again? I heard, Yeah, I think all of us, I'm going to have to ask Conrad. I don't have the flip thing if you want to do that for me. But hindsight that you see up there is 20/20, right? If we knew what we know now, back then, we would have done things differently. I mean, that's just life. We learn as we grow. We learn as life goes on. And we know that life is difficult. And sometimes we make poor choices. And I think all of us can agree to that. Maybe a missed opportunity that was right before us that we could have embraced. And we didn't embrace that opportunity. Maybe it wasn't following good advice that somebody gave us. I think most of us could say our parents gave us good advice and we didn't always follow it. And we had to learn and get the bruises and the bumps on our own, even though our parents were trying to guide us away from those hot spots. I guess that's part of growing up too. But maybe it's things that we've done that we regret and we wish we had done differently in our lives. And I think all of us could say that we have some regrets in our lives. But we don't want those regrets to haunt us or disable us. And that's, I think this scripture today speaks loudly to that topic of not allowing past regrets to paralyze us. If you could advance that, Conrad, someone said those words up there. If we fill our hours with regrets over the failures of yesterday and with the worries over the problems of tomorrow, we have no today in which to be thankful. See, if we live in the past and we're so worried about the future and what might happen there that might not happen, we get paralyzed to the point where we can't enjoy the moment. We can't seize the moment of the day. And we got to be careful about that. So you can go to slide 3. Thank you. So in our scripture this morning, there's an artistic rendering of what Barbara read this morning from John's Gospel. We witnessed Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem. He went up to Jerusalem to pray, and he was about to teach, and he's there, and there's a large crowd, as there always is, in the Temple Mount in Jerusalem in Jesus' day. And the scribes and Pharisees bring this woman, and they basically throw her at the feet of Jesus in the midst of this crowd. And obviously, she's struggling because she knows that things aren't going well for her in this scenario. And they begin to tell Jesus that this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now, they were testing him to see if he would follow the laws of Moses or not, right? Remember, it says in the law of Moses that if someone is caught in the act of adultery, they're to be stoned to death. Now, here's the crazy thing. Even today, in parts of the world, such as the Taliban in Afghanistan and parts of Pakistan, they're still stoning people for this reason. They're still doing this. And so it's a contemporary problem, even in this day and age. And so they were trying to set Jesus up. They were trying to trip him up into making a mistake. And I can see this poor woman. I mean, I when I read scripture, I don't know about you, but sometimes I pause for a moment. Scripture's not to be read like a novel, okay? You're supposed to take your time and digest it. And sometimes you could be stuck on one word or one sentence. And when I read these stories of Jesus and the Gospels, I try to visualize the crowd screaming, these angry men with stones in their hands, and this poor woman at the feet of Jesus. And I visualize this. She's embarrassed. She's shamed. She's humiliated. And obviously, she's fearful because she knew what the law of Moses said about this, that there was a very good chance she was going to die that day. Everyone in the circle were angry accusers, shouting at her with stones in their hands, ready to throw them upon this poor woman. You know, the ironic thing is, though I can't prove this from Scripture, probably some of those guys in the crowd had committed the very same act that they were accusing this woman of behind the scenes. And there they stood in judgment with the stones in their hands. Another unfairness that I think, but it was the laws of the day, where was the guy that she was messing around with? How come he wasn't there in the circle? Why was she just dragged out and humiliated before this crowd? You see, if Jesus said, don't stone the woman, he would have violated the laws of Moses. And yet if he said, go ahead and stone her, he would have violated the laws of Rome. They only had the right to do capital punishment. That's why they originally brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate, right? For the execution. They couldn't do it. So they brought him before Pilate, who was the Roman governor, to condemn him to die of crucifixion. So either way, Jesus was stuck between that proverbial rock and a hard place. He's darned if he does, and he's darned if he doesn't. But Jesus knew. He was fully aware of their ploy and what they were trying to do to him. And Jesus responds in a calm and cool and collected way. He stooped down. Now, I've studied so many commentaries on this passage. He wrote something in the dirt, and I have no idea what he wrote, and neither do you. Nobody does. He wrote something in the dirt. And I would imagine they're there with their stones, one, they're trying to peek to see what he wrote. I could tell you that he wasn't writing Yankees were eliminated from the playoffs. But they were looking. And he ignored them. Jesus ignored the accusers, their shouts, their accusations, their mean-spiritedness, their judgmentalism. He completely ignored them. They were demanding an answer. He tuned them out. And in verse 7, this is a beautiful verse, he stood up and he faced the angry crowd. I love this. And he says to the crowd who are ready and paused to throw their stones, let anyone in this group who's without sin cast the first stone. Now, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Paul says, and they knew it too. And then he stooped back down and he started writing again in the sand, waiting for their response. And one by one, from the eldest to the youngest, they started dropping their stones because they knew every single one of them had sinned. And yet they're placing judgment on this woman before them. Until it was only Jesus and this woman left. I wonder what was going through this woman's mind to see those stones drop to the ground, to realize she was just inches away from being executed that day. And Jesus asks her, woman, where are they now? Has no one condemned you? And she says, no, sir. And then Jesus says these beautiful words, neither do I. Go and sin no more. A second chance, a do-over. What a beautiful story. In other words, Jesus gives this woman an opportunity to leave that hostile environment to go ahead and do something with her life. Now, as I was reading Newsday yesterday, on Friday, a young man, I think he was from Islip, I'm not sure, he was only 23 or 24 years old, and he was sentenced in Central Islip, criminal court. He was sentenced to time served and 4 years probation, I think 1,000 hours of community service. What did he do? He ran over a New York State trooper on one of the parkways. Now, he wasn't drunk. He wasn't on drugs. You know what he was doing when he hit that trooper? He was texting. And he spoke before the court. But it was very interesting. This trooper was from upstate New York, and his family came down. He's the father of a couple of young children. He's paralyzed, completely paralyzed. He can't even feed himself. It's a bad injury. And this young kid, I'm sure, regrets what happened that day. It was unintentional. I don't know if it was his wife or his sister got up, and they allow the family to speak to the judge before sentencing takes place. And a family member stood up and looked at this young man and said, "You've been given a second chance. Do something with your life." I thought that was very generous, frankly. And this young man stood up and he says, "I'm going to dedicate my life in sharing with others the dangers of texting while driving." I think he's going to go to the high schools. He's going to talk to groups what he did while he was texting. And how this poor trooper is going to suffer the rest of his life being paralyzed. He was given a do-over, a second chance. And here's the good news, friends. We may not be charged with texting while driving. We may not be arrested and dragged into court. But Jesus is still in the business of giving folks second chances. And I love that. Because I look at all of your half of angelic faces, and I could tell you have no regrets in life. But I'm certainly glad he's into giving second chances. And I could tell you that with assurance. He doesn't want us to live with regrets from yesterday. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants for us to seize the day and all of the opportunities that are before us in the now. I've been assigned to mentor the pastor of the West Hampton United Methodist Church as he progresses in his journey toward ordination this year. He's a nice young man, and he sends me his projects, and I review them, and I make recommendations, and I look it over. And there was one thing in his project that I read this week that he sent me, and listen to this, and you could advance the slide. It says, "When people put a period, God puts a comma." I love that. You see, sometimes we put a period on something like, it's over. But you know, there was a great theologian. You might know who he is. He said, "It ain't over till it's over." Yogi Berra. God said, "It ain't over until I say it's over." You may want to put a period on your life. You may want to put a period on those regrets. But I'm telling you, I'm putting a comma because I've got more work to do in your life. Just as he did with that woman caught in the issue of adultery, just like that young man who was texting while driving, he wants to give us a second chance. In other words, God's not done with us yet. We ought to be thankful for that. We should all be walking around with a sign around our neck. Under construction. We're all under construction, friends. Do we have regrets? You better believe it. We all do. But God doesn't want us to live there. Amen? Amen. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I just know that all of us have something in our lives that when we look back in hindsight, we regret. We can't change it. It's written in history. It's done. But we're not done. Because just as Jesus forgave that woman that day in Jerusalem and sent her on her way to begin a new life, with a second chance, a do-over, you're still doing that for us today. I pray that if we're struggling with regrets from the past, that we could lay them at the foot of the cross and stand up and walk into today and make it the best day so far. And repeat that tomorrow and the next day so that we could impact people's lives and even our own by doing so in positive ways instead of living back in negativity, living back in troubled times from the past. Help us with that, Lord. Lift that burden off of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.